Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day, where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for Wednesday, May 1st, 2019, looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul writes, "Concerning the times and dates, brothers, there is no need to write to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people are saying peace and security, destruction will suddenly come on them, like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will certainly not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark, so that this day takes you by surprise like a thief, for you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not sleep like everyone else, but rather, let us remain alert and sober. To be sure, those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. You see, God did not appoint us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are also doing. Brothers, we ask you to take note of those who work hard among you, who exercise leadership over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love on account of their work. Live at peace with each other. We also encourage you, brothers, to admonish those who are idle. Encourage those who are discouraged. Help those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil with evil, but instead always strive to do good to each other and to everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not extinguish the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test everything and hold on to the good. Keep away from every kind of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath to the Lord to read this letter to all the holy brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of our God." As Paul concludes this first letter back to the Thessalonians, you notice that there are a few things that jump out. First of all, there's this idea that Christ is coming very soon, and that it's going to be a bit of a surprise, but that no one's going to miss it. That theme is going to come out even more strongly when we get to 2 Thessalonians, when we hear that some of those Thessalonians had been just basically sitting around and waiting for Jesus to come and take them to heaven, rather than going about their daily work and fulfilling their vocations. And what Paul says here is, you're not in the dark. It's not going to be a surprise. You are waiting for Jesus, and that's good. So let's be alert, and let's remain sober. And the contrast here at the beginning of the chapter is between the dreamlike state, the sleepy state, and the drunken state of sin, versus the alertness and the sobriety that is characteristic of faith. The alertness that is characteristic of faith means that you understand the world as it really is. You understand the motivation of sin, and that sinful flesh in all people means people will do sinful things for no other reason other than their own sinful reasons. They don't need any justification beyond that. And you are aware of that as a Christian. And as a Christian, you are sober and you are alert, because we're living in these last days where every promise of God has been fulfilled except for that last coming of Christ. And we are expecting that, where the rest of the sinful world, you know, in their unbelief, is wringing their hands about global warming or wondering, you know, when is our sun finally going to extinguish itself? Well, we've got another billion years before that happens. And then all of the political ideas and cultural ideals that our politicians and our people pursue, all it is fretting and wondering about how I can extend my life here and how we can maybe colonize another planet so that when the Earth is finally destroyed, then we'll have a place to live. And the idea of taking care of the earth, not because it's a godly reason for stewardship, but simply because it's the only one that we've got, and we have to leave a better earth for our grandkids or something like that, rather than the Christian approach that views it with sobriety and alertness, that says, you know, God has entrusted this earth to our care, and we want to be good stewards of it to his glory, but at the end of time, it's going to be destroyed. And we look ahead to that new heavens and the new earth and the new life that Christ has promised us through faith. And this touches on a point that Pastor John Hine has made a couple of times. He's the head of our Synod's Commission on Congregational Counseling, and his basic job right now is going around and speaking at various conventions and conferences and district conventions, and talking about lifting our eyes above our own congregations and individual ministries and facilities, and lifting our eyes to the greater purpose of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is especially a hot topic when you get to the heartland of Wisconsin, kind of the area where I had grown up, where you basically have a Wisconsin Synod Lutheran Church every 6 or 7 miles, because that's about the distance that you would be able to drive with a wagon and a horse at the time when these churches were first started. But now, you know, you and I can figure on an average of 20 minutes is how far somebody would drive to get to church. And so Pastor Hine is going around to these different churches and saying, dear friends, do you see the coming kingdom of Christ? Do we have a passion for our Lord, or are our eyes distracted by what we see here? Are we living in a way that is sleepy and groggy, or are we alert and sober and encouraging one another in faith and love? And the message that he is, you know, bringing to a lot of these churches who are in close proximity to each other is just to say, lift your eyes to the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of Jesus, and how can we, as congregations who are in fellowship together, perhaps work together to bring the name of Jesus to many others so that they too may be prepared for the day of salvation. Consider, you know, verses 8 and 9. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. You see, God did not appoint us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Build each other up, just as, in fact, you are also doing. Build each other up in a way that says, dear friend, do you see the big picture? Christ is coming soon. And so when Pastor Hine, he talks about this as one of his presentations, he gets out to rural Wisconsin, and he's talking to these congregations about possibly merging their ministries and selling a building or raising it and then selling the land or something like that. And somebody stands up, you know, heartfelt, who isn't really invested in that congregation for a long time. And he stands up and with, you know, a love that I wish all people had for their own congregation, this man says, yeah, I get that. But my grandfather laid the cornerstone, and my grandparents and great-grandparents and parents are buried in the graveyard behind the church. And he sits back down. And Pastor Hine, part of his job is just being very blunt and straightforward, because kind of beating around the bush doesn't accomplish much besides delay things. And he kind of looks at him and he says, I get that. And I love the passion you have for your Lord at this place. But when Jesus comes and destroys this earth with fire, do you think he's going to say, but wait, not St. Paul here, because so-and-so's grandfather laid the cornerstone? When your grandparents and great-grandparents are resurrected out of the dust of the earth and their graves are broken open, and they are raised with glorious bodies, and they see Jesus starting to destroy this world with fire, do you think they're going to look at that old church and think to themselves, but wait, Jesus, don't destroy that, because I helped build that? No. No. We are looking forward to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will come like a thief in the night. It will come like surprise when people are saying peace and security, when people are talking about how we may attain world peace and bring peace to Venezuela and to the Middle East, when people are talking about security and how we can offset the carbon in our atmosphere so that this world goes on forever, and talking about security and how we may have security and a future on another planet. When people are saying peace and security, destruction will suddenly come on them, like labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will certainly not escape. Obviously, I've never been pregnant. I will never be pregnant because I'm a guy. But we have two kids. And when you're just walking along or sitting there at the hospital and all of a sudden another contraction comes, not really expecting it, and then you just kind of catch your breath. That's what Jesus describes his coming. And when that labor pain is coming, it sometimes goes on for a while. There are, you know, often very many contractions over a period of days or even weeks, depending, that prepare the woman's body to give birth to that child and to give birth to the new life. The labor pains of this world are ongoing and will only heighten in intensity and frequency until the day Jesus comes back. The labor pains are already happening, wars and rumors of wars and unrest in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. Labor pains that tell you and me there's a new life coming. A new life coming because Jesus will come soon. And when labor pains come, they reach their culmination when the new life is given, when the new child is born. In the same way, look at the world around you and see the labor pains that this world is going through. See the pain and the heartache in your own heart, yearning that things would be different and understanding that things are not as they should be. And be prepared. Be alert. And so today, just take a moment to pray, "Come, Lord Jesus." Not the meal prayer, but the prayer at the end of Revelation. "Come, Lord Jesus, take your people home and bring an end to the pain and suffering here. But above all, prepare your people that we work together for the furthering of your kingdom, that many may know Christ now, in when he comes in grace, before he comes at the end of time, when he comes in power, and there will be no escape." So go ahead, invite a friend, and bring them along to worship 9 a.m. Sunday mornings at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road at Maumee, or host a watch party and watch us on YouTube at Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.